we're thankful to have this other opportunity that we might come this way. I was trying to think about the last time that we came and tried to work with the church here in Corinth in an effort meeting. It's been, I believe the last time I was here was right before we got ready to go to Alaska. I believe it was the last one. So, been some time has passed by. We're thankful to be able to come back this way. Thank the Lord for the opportunity, and I appreciate your invitation to come. As you know, days gone by, that if there's any good that comes out of me trying to stand, I'm going to need the Lord's help. Obviously, as we have tried to stand at different times and tried to bring the Word of God, the point that always stands before us is that, number one, we do stand before the Lord. And as we try to stand before the Lord and bring His Word, that this matter is of eternal importance. This isn't something that is trivial. This isn't getting ready for some future investment. You know, this isn't a retirement account that you're trying to plan. This isn't your job or future that you're trying to plan as far as your career. All those things are important. And we as people, we think about, well, how are we going to make a living? How are we going to get through next year? How are we going to get through the years of our lives out in front of us? These are important things that we consider. What kind of job are we going to get out in the future? What kind of income we're going to make? Those things are things that we have to be concerned about as men and women, as people. But as a human being, we have a much greater concern, because even our jobs and our careers, whatever retirement planning we may make, all that's only going to last for a short period of time. And even if our plans that we make in the time that's allotted to us, even if it's 100 years, 100 years to us seems like a long time. But we as human beings, we have a much greater amount of time, and that is called eternity. We're eternity-bound creatures. We're going to eternity. Here in time, everything that we can acquire, everything, all the stuff that we can gather, all that's going to be left behind. And one day it's going to be burned up completely. It's going to be gone. But that which is eternal, our soul, is going to go on and on and on. So this is what we do when we gather together. I know, Corinth Church, you would love to be able to look to your left and look to your right. There not be a seat that don't have somebody. You'd love to see this building filled with what you'd love to see. And as you think about those out in the community who could be here but are not, it should tell you just how that the battle that you have, the fight that you have, and it's a fight, that it's serious, and that the adversary who you fight against is intent. They're determined. He's a determined adversary. And if you let him, if you're satisfied, this is what you have. And there'll even be a day when perhaps you'll look around those who that even among you, the numbers will start dwindling. And finally, he'll have his ultimately what he wants here in Corinth, that there won't even be a church in this building. Maybe somebody will start something that they'll call some type of holiness group or something like that. Maybe they'll want to buy this property off of somebody so they can use the benches that you're sitting on in this pulpit to spread a lie and deceive people, to make sure that people go to hell thinking that they're prepared. Or we can lean on the Lord and work for the Lord and labor for the Lord to where that this continues on here. But being passive is not the way to do it. I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just bringing to your mind things you already know. And that as we labor, we need to be serious in our labor. And this isn't, well, when the Lord lays something on our heart to do, we need to do it. So let's be careful that we labor for the Lord. The secret of God's people has been that we followed the Lord. When the Lord sent, we went, and even when we thought that it was impossible, there's been a lot of Goliaths that have been slain. There's been a lot of giants that have been slain. There's been a lot of high walls that have been torn down because just the one who was willing to follow the Lord followed him and said or did, not the big thing. God does the big thing. We have to be willing to do the small things as the Lord would have for us to do. But as long as we think, well, it's impossible, that'll never happen, you're not going to accomplish anything. It's going to be according to our faith. It be it unto us according to our faith. If our faith is small and we doubt, don't expect anything. He that doubts shouldn't expect anything of the Lord. He that doubts, the Bible says it plain, don't expect anything of the Lord. So we've got to trust the Lord. God is able. And I hope that as you've prayed for the meeting and as we continue on, the good thing about it is if we look and we say, boy, I've come short in that. The wonderful thing about serving the Lord is we can repent. Get that straight. Get it straight now. We've all come short. So, but with the Lord's help, let's try to take up the work here, beginning now. As I've tried to pray, two verses of Scripture on our heart out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 50. We'll read a couple of verses of Scripture, and with the help of the Lord, try to take up some points. And the way this is on our heart tonight, it may seem more like a Bible study. It may seem more like it's not bothering me. It's not bothering you. It's not bothering me. Now, it may seem like we're taking up a Bible study, but we're just going to try to follow the Lord and go through this and touch on some points. And y'all pray for us as we do. Out of Isaiah chapter 50, beginning in verse 10, the Scripture says this, the Lord asking questions here, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. With the mistakes we may have made, this gives us a reading lesson out of Isaiah chapter 50. We've read the 10th and the 11th verse for a reading lesson. The thought that's on our mind comes from 1 John chapter 1. Lord willing, we'll get there in just a minute. But the verse, I believe it's verse 7. Probably verse 6. This then is the message we have heard of him. That's verse 5. This then is the message we have heard of him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That's our thought. When we think about this in Isaiah chapter 50, we think about how there's really two points that's being addressed here. First off, the Lord addresses who appears to be his people. Secondly, he addresses those who are not his people. In the first, what he addresses here and when he's talking to his people, he asks, who is it among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Now notice in this, he starts off with, now who is this? Who among us? Who among God's people is it who can answer these questions and say that we fear God? You know, to fear God, there's a lot that we can conclude and a lot that we can draw from in fearing God. I wish there was more fear of the Lord in this day. But it's one thing to fear the Lord, while that there's another thing to actually walk in his light. People can fear the Lord. They can have a wholesome fear of God. And really, when you start reading the Word of God, what that seems like I hear more frequently than anything else is the subject of the punishment that God has sworn, that he has committed himself to issue. And that punishment, we think of a punishment that people will enter into in eternity and will continue on and on. But we also think about punishment, things that happen here in time. I think about God's chastening, and sometimes we hear a thought shared among ourselves even about how we fear God, and I dare not get involved in such and so because of my fear for God and what really that God can issue to me immediately. If I go off into that, especially when I know it's wrong and I do it anyway. So we hear that fear of God, hear that talked about, but just because we have that kind of fear for God, that doesn't mean that we're walking in His light. He mentions it here. More than that, he goes on and says, "He that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of His servant." There's a lot of people. And perhaps we are those people who get caught up in, well, this is what the Word of God says. And because the Word of God says this, we're going to go through it. We're going to go through the actions. We're going to take the steps. We not only fear God, that we'll avoid a certain thing or things which we know that God does not like, but we will follow instructions. And in following God's instructions, we're trying to obey, trying to be obedient. But by what God says here, that those who are in this condition also, can walk in darkness. That is, they are not walking in the light. I will say again, remember what is over there in 1 John. That the same God who had Isaiah to pin down this verse here in Isaiah had John to pin down what's in 1 John chapter 1. This is one book. This isn't multiple books all crammed together. This is just God's book, period. Now in 1 John chapter 1 there, again, that scripture said, "This then is the message that we've heard from God and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sins." And now I would just like for you to recall there that this verse is talking about walking in the light. That there is a definite condition of walking in the light of God. And we have it called our question through a series of questions here. We have it called our attention. Are we walking in that light? This talks about fearing God, but not walking in the light. Obeying His servant, yet not walking in the light. Why is it? Why is it that we don't walk in the light? What does the end of that verse say? The answer is in the verse. He said, "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." To stay upon something, this phrase in the Old Testament, "stay upon the Lord," it's similar to the phrase, "be steadfast with God." To not only do we trust in the Lord, not only do we have confidence and believe in the Lord, but we have a determination. We have a determination that we're going to stick with Him through even the trials. We're going to stick with Him through the fire. That in spite of what others say, we're going to stick with Him. There's a degree of determination that's expressed in staying on the Lord. That I tell you what, that determination is important for. It's because we have periods of time, we have instances where our faith is challenged and we may doubt. There's going to be times when you're asked about something from others and the honest answer is going to be, "I don't know." There's going to be times with you, questions come up in your own heart. The answer is, "I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. I've got the question, but I don't have the answer. But here's what I do know. God does have the answer." We sometimes step out to follow God and it seems like bad things happen. And when those bad things happen, that's when your faith gets challenged. I'm going to tell you, if you trust the Lord and stay upon Him, you're going to stick right with it and believe this. Here's what we must be convinced about when it comes to God. That He is good and that He loves us. No matter what, at the period right there, at that instant, you may not see what all is taking place. We don't have to see what all is taking place. We're asked to simply trust God. Simply stay with Him. Trust Him. You may not know, and it may take for us to step over into eternity to really see what all it meant. But here's the point. God asks us to trust Him in the face of doubt, to continue with Him. That's walking in the light. That's being on the Lord's side. That's taking a position that despite what else might come along, that we're going to trust God anyway. The psalmist said, or actually Job's the one who said, though He slay me, I will trust my God. Though it brings poverty, though it brings my death, I'm going to trust God. Why? Because it's just impossible in the face. Look at all the alternatives. Think about this world. Think about all the things that people do to other people, even in their best intentions, how harm comes at times, maybe not meaning to. At our very best, mankind messes up. God cannot do any of that. He cannot lie. He will not lie. He cannot do it. He is absolutely good. He is so much love. He loves so much that He is love. God is love. And in truth, His truth is so absolutely correct, and it's so right that He is absolute light, and in Him is no darkness at all. How, in the face of all of going on around us, why can we not with a sober mind look and say, I am more willing to trust God than any of the other options. Than any other options. And even if it brings pain and hurt and suffering, so be it. Because when you look out on this world, still our lives are full with pain and suffering that comes along. In the options, trusting God far excels any of those other things. Any of those other things. Our life, we are born a woman. Man is born a woman is a few days and full of sorrow. It's our lot. It's because of sin that was allowed into this world. God, He will make our lot. I just believe the Lord when He said, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy. My burden is easy. This labor that we do, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's going to make it light. He's going to bless us for that. And we just have to trust Him, because the devil is going to come along in every step of the way. Yeah, boy, that was smart, wasn't it? Yeah, see what you let down, see what you gave up? No, I trust God. I didn't give up anything. What did we gain in serving the Lord? What did we gain? So the Lord's answer is, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now to the other section, he says this. He says this. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire. Now notice, now a fire is also a type of light. Sparks, he says this. That compass yourselves about with sparks. Fire and sparks, they're also a type of light. But in this, the Lord is saying, he's saying of people in this condition that they have come up with their own sparks. They've come up with their own fire. You know what a light is in this? We're talking about knowledge. We're talking about an understanding. Now, this is a picture from God about how that a whole section of mankind is just going to figure it out on their own. They have, essentially, they've got their own plan. They're just going to consider it and think their own way through it. Now, thinking your own way through things, that's your own fire. That's your own sparks. That is taking your own thoughts and your own ideas and committing yourself to those. That's what you trust in. You must trust in those. People in this condition must trust in their own thoughts, must trust in their own understanding, because they're unwilling to give those up and just trust God. So they're stuck under with their own ideas. As long as people in this condition want to stick with their own ideas and with their own thoughts, have confidence in their own self, in their own intelligence, as long as people want to stick with these things, they're unwilling to just cast all that aside and trust in the Lord. This is what God says of that then. He says, okay, well then you walk in the light of your fire and the sparks that you've kindled. Go ahead. Try that. But here's what you're going to do. This is the promise from God. You're going to lie down in sorrow. There's going to be something missing. And that's a sorrow that it brings. See, though God's given us a mind, and we have the ability to think, and we actually, God gives us the permission to think for ourselves if we must. But, we're still creatures of God. And we need God in our lives. We were made to be in God's presence. And without Him here within us, there's sorrow. There is sorrow. So as we go on through life and in this class of people, this group of people who God's talking about, He says now, all you got to be is honest. All you got to be is honest. And if you can't be honest, especially honest with your own self, how can you be honest with anybody else? Just be honest. Where are you at? I'll tell you where they're at. They're in sorrow. Sorrow because of depending on self and own thoughts. This brings us to our next point. The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's go on. We're going to go on to the writing where the Lord is speaking to in the book of John. The Lord said this in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I notice that Jesus declares himself that he is the light. Jesus says of himself, he is the light of the world. He's the light giver. He is the source. I saw that when we think about trusting in the Lord and staying upon our God. There's a determination there about Jesus Christ. There's being committed unto the Lord. None of what we talk about here can even be considered without Jesus being right in the middle of the thought. Jesus is the light. He is the one who, when he gave himself for sin, fulfilled all the law, committed himself even from the beginning, even before the creation. He committed himself to absolutely upholding everything that was required of justice, required of what's righteous. He committed himself to meet all the requirements of what's good and right and true. To do that, he went all the way to the cross and tasted death. The scripture says, by the grace of God, he tasted death for all of us. All of us here, everybody outside of this door, within the side of this house, everybody over here in this part of Arkansas, he tasted death for everybody in the United States. He tasted death for the whole world. Everybody who will live at all times, he tasted death for them. He tasted death for them. So what in him tasting death for us all, he made a provision so that all of us can have access to the light and wouldn't have to walk in darkness. He is that light. When we talk about those who would light their own fire, those who would set their own sparks, those who would follow their own thoughts, who would come up with their own notions and their own ideas and trust in those things and follow what they come up with, they are rejecting Jesus. The idea here is it's Jesus who loved us all and gave himself for us versus our own thoughts. And because we've rejected Jesus and rejected following him, unwilling to trust him, unwilling to believe in him, unwilling to follow him, we end up in darkness. We end up out there away from the light. Christ, he said this, John chapter 3, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 17. Now verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this, notice, the Lord calls our attention to the point, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Notice the word used there. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. When we have this summons, we have these scriptures called our attention. You know, and as we go outside of these walls, as we move from each other and go out and interact with other people and invite, this is a light and darkness matter that we're talking about here. What we're dealing with, what the old devil has done, the devil has talked people into loving the things that are of darkness. The devil has, and think about what's in the darkness. The scripture actually tells us this. I'm going to flip over and get this while it's on my mind. Over in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the apostle writing to the church of Thessalonica, he says this, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should take you as a thief." This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 5. "Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us hear of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." Now notice, there are two conditions that the Lord uses here, that the Holy Spirit gives to Paul, and through Paul gives it to us. The Holy Spirit shows to us two conditions and compares this to darkness. Number one, it says those who are asleep and those who are drunken. That's number two. Now think about this. This is the state that the Lord said over there in John 3. He said those who won't come to the light, it's because they love the darkness. And the darkness is like being asleep, and the darkness is like being drunken. Now think about how we are when we're asleep. When we're asleep, we've got our eyes closed. We're not thinking. We're not active. We're not considering. Well, with open eyes, we are at rest. We're still. And that is like being in darkness. The Lord says the reason that mankind won't come to Him, the reason that mankind reject Him and won't come to Him and follow Him, that they might be in the light, not only with Him, but they won't be in the light with people who are walking in the light. And the only way for us to have fellowship with each other is to get in the light. You know, if we talk about, well, these churches, boy, they've got problems. If that church would just act this way or that, act that way, we'd be able to all get along better. I tell you what, if we all got in the light following the Lord would bring us together in that light. We would meet each other in the light. So to be asleep, to be in the spiritual condition of being asleep, you know, just like in many of the scriptures, we have a physical condition that is used to describe a spiritual condition. The physical condition here is being asleep. That's the condition. But it's being described as, this is what it's like when people are in darkness. The other example was to be drunk. To be drunken. To be drunk. What happens when we're drunk? What happens when people are on alcohol? Drunk in this way, it's not just alcohol. Drugs also cause the same sort of situation. And there are other stimulants which that cause that same sort of situation. Some stimulants, some depression. But it causes the same situation. Think about what happens. There's not clear thinking. There's not clear thinking. There is really an oversense. Some courage goes beyond measure. Wisdom is gone.
Oh, what happens in that condition is there is a total lack of being able to understand and see clearly. That's where the mind is brought into this. And the opposite condition of being drunken is to be sober-minded, to be clear-thinking. Sometimes in the state of drunkenness, it's just called not being clear-minded. The mind is drunken. It's not seeing rationally. It's not clear. We're sober-minded. We think of sober-minded. What comes to mind right off is the idea of being clear-minded. Now, that physical condition of being drunken is also like being asleep. It's used to compare, bring to our attention what it's like to be in darkness, spiritually speaking. To be in the darkness, spiritually speaking. Now, the Lord said, what the problem this? He put his finger, it's like he took his finger and said, this is the condemnation. This. People love that. Love being asleep spiritually, or love being drunken spiritually. They love that. Therefore, they stay in darkness. And because of their love for that, they won't come to Christ. Jesus says they won't come to me because of that. The Lord's been in this. He's been in this from the beginning. He knows why people won't come to him. He has seen it time and time again. People come right to the brink. And there it's set before him. Will I love God and serve him? Will I just trust the Lord and be what he'd have? Will I just give up fighting against him and surrender and come to him? Trust that he really has my best intentions in mind and just come to him and just put it in his hands? Will I or will I not? And the devil said, don't forget to be asleep. You'd have to give up being asleep. You'd have to give up being drunken, spiritually speaking. Are you willing to give those things up? The Lord said, come unto me. I will give you light. The devil said, wait a minute. Don't forget what you're going to be giving up. The Lord said, here's the condemnation. Here's why people stay condemned. They love this and they can't give it up. And as man, we can't love two things at one time. We can only love one thing at a time. You can only love one at a time. As long as you love this that the devil keeps putting in front of us, you can never love God. A heart is just not made like that. That's where this people say they can love two people at the same time. We was talking about coming down the hill about some relationships. People don't seem like that they can just stay committed to as individuals. They say, well, I can just love all of these. No, you don't. You don't love any of them. If you're trying to jump from one to the other, not at all. What it is you're not worried about loving them. You're not worried about them. You're not worried about that. The heart is just not made to where that it can love more than one at a time. And the Lord said, here's the condemnation. Men love that darkness. And the things that he uses to describe it is to be asleep and to be drunken. He used that as the example. The scripture goes on and says this, but there's the other side. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. Well, you know, the wonderful thing about living in the truth is you never have to remember what you said. You never have to remember what you told anybody. Just live in the truth. When you get to lying and telling stories and stuff, you always got to walk around worried. Can't remember who you told what. Just always tell the truth. And that's the way life is, living in the light, following Jesus Christ. He said this. He said, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light. That's John 3:21. John 3:21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. Let me tell you who's on your side. When you give up those things of darkness, the Lord said, I am the light. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for those who see the light, set those things like sleep and drunkenness, spiritually speaking, set that aside. Just because that a lot of people fall in love with them and won't give them up, thank God for those who do give them up, who do turn their back on him and come to Christ, see him as he really is. I'm thankful for those. I remember when I was lost. This means a lot to me. When the Lord lays this on my heart, it blesses me, because when I was 8 years old, I was sitting up just right over there in the church house, a little old church building. I went back there for a decoration. I have some great-grandparents buried over there. Went to that decoration. We were walking into that church house. I like to walk in there and look right over there. That's where I got saved at. Walk in there, and boy, that building has shrunk. I didn't remember just how small that building was. But I tell you what, it was big enough for me and the Lord to meet that night. I was sitting over there and the preacher was talking about, here's what he said. I never will forget. He said, you know this about being in darkness, a darkness you can feel. He said, I could just picture this as a kid. He said, as a kid, all of our folks had coon dogs. Said they'd go off hunting at night. And said they didn't have a flashlight, they had no lantern. And as he said, me as a little fella, I wasn't smart enough to stay at the house, and I'd try to track along through the dark and keep up, and I knew if I could just see the lamp, if I could just see the light, I wouldn't get lost in the dark. The idea was seeing the light versus lost in the dark. I could just see that. The Lord used that night. And boy, he is talking about, he said sometime, he remember one situation where that his dad and his uncle got away from him and he lost the light and he was just lost in darkness. Boy, I felt that. Oh, boy. He said, you know, when I got in that condition, I got to call it out. Hey, I'm over here. I can't see the light. Boy, that's when I, right down here inside of me, I don't know what he said after that. Me and the Lord got to working with me right there. And boy, I tell you what, I felt that darkness down here inside. And when I saw, I did some calling out myself. And the light came to me. And that light fixed me right here. And it's never been broke again. Never been broke again. Because of what the Lord did for me that night. Brought me out of the darkness and brought me into the light. Now those who would give up those things and come to the light of the Lord. And that light that he gives you, I can testify, it'll stay with you. It'll be right yonder, right here. I've not always treated her right, but she ain't ever left me. Been right here the whole time through. Oh, now walking in the light, I'm going to tell you, you get out here in the world and you get to living, you find that light and you get to, I'm going to take off out here and do things on my own. You let yourself get distracted. You know, even the color of this grass out here takes a different hue. It seems like the green in the grass isn't even the same color. Look, it seems like that the colors on these flowers, you think these flowers and such, you think that they're pretty out here trying to do things on your own, get saved and get to follow the Lord. It's like that everything is in a brighter hue. That's because of following the Lord and walking in the light. Somebody's standing right beside of you and they say, boy, look at that, that's a beautiful scene. And you think, boy, if you could just get saved and get to following the Lord, you sure enough would see just how beautiful it is. The Lord deals with us, and we can tell when he's dealing with us if we come to him and follow him. That light's real. I'm a witness. That light's real. Not that right there. That light, it doesn't even compare. The light I'm talking about is spiritual light. The Lord said this. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 5 real quick. He said this to the church. He said, you're the salt of the world. Salt of the earth. But if the salt is lost or severed, wherewith shall it be salted? Isn't this force good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under feet? Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, Father God, God the Father, which is in heaven. Don't you know, no man lights a candle and just lights that candle for it alone to be lit. But you take that, it's like a match. You don't light a match just for the purpose of lighting it. If you do, it's just foolishness. Some people do it just wasting time. Light a match and let it burn up. Didn't get anything out of it. Hey, why? If you want real light, you take that match after you light it and you light a candle. Or you take that match and you light a lamp. This is actually talking about a lampstand, something that's fed with oil. That's what this is describing. The Lord saying, when you strike that lighter, when you strike that and get it lit, you strike it for the reason to have light. Well, you don't just light. Think about it. If you had a match and you said, now, it's dark. There's no light. The lights have gone out. Electricity's gone off. You wouldn't just strike a match and just try to hold that match until the lights come back on. You would find something to put that light on, that light that's created by that match. You would get it lit. And then you'd put it on a candle or you would put it on a lamp, but you wouldn't just hold that match.
We all know better than that. If you want light so others can see, so you can see and so others can see what's in that room, you light the candle or you light the lamp or whatever. The Lord said, no man just lights the match and holds it. What about God? Why would he give us light in our soul with the intent of just lighting it for us alone? He said, take that light and put it on the candlestick. Put that light that he gave you in soul salvation on the candlestick. You know, over in John was there in the Revelation chapter 1, plain as day. What is the candlestick? The Lord tells. The church is the candlestick. Saved people get a light down within. Now we're to take that light and do something with it. Put it on the candlestick. That's following the Lord. The Lord is the light of the world. You know, the church itself, we who have been saved, we have light within us. But you know what we reflect to the world? If we'll follow Jesus, and that's the only place that the church can truly be the church, is if it's following Jesus. You take a church and say it's going to be a church, but it's not. It's going to follow somebody else. It's going to follow the preacher, God forbid. It does sometimes. Sometimes there's a good family in the church, and the church will take off following the family. But I'm talking about where the church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be following the Lord. The Lord already said, he said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's where the church needs to be. Right there following the Lord. He's the head of the church. So when we get saved, we should get... It's so important when we think about salvation, we can't exclude Jesus from the factor. When it comes down to getting saved, the question between God and a lost person is this. Will you serve me? Are you willing to do what I'd ask you to do? That's the question. Are you going to submit to me, willing to do what I'd have for you to do? There's the question. Do you want me to save you so you can go and sin and go and do all these other things? You think God's all for that? God wants people to serve him. We should want to serve him. That's where life is the fullest. Anyway, following the Lord in the light, where the church is this. The church is, I think God gave us a wonderful picture in nature. We have the sun, which shines out in the daytime. And when the moon comes out at night and it provides light for us, is the moon a source of light? No, what it's doing is it's reflecting the light of the sun. The light of the sun is hitting the moon. And as the light of the sun hits the moon lights up and provides light in darkness. That's where we're at as the church. When the light that we shine, we're a reflector. We shine the light that the church has to show is that light that comes from the source. The Lord said he is the light of the world. The way the church is the light of the world out in the darkness is when it's right there to reflect that light that comes from the Lord. Where the church is to be in following the Lord, it's to have a light for others to see. The testimonies that we give, look what we have been blessed with, that's good. But it's not about us, it's about the Lord. What that lost person needs to hear about, what those around us need to hear about, is God and what God has done for us. We're a witness. And what we're doing is we are sharing that light, the light that has been given to us from God. We put the light on the candlestick. Read it again now. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, what kind of good works? Now, this says that men may see your good works. Who's capable of doing good works on their own? The Lord said over in John 15, about verse 5, verse 6, without me, you can do nothing. He was talking about anything good. Without the Lord, we can't do. We can do a lot without the Lord. He's talking about doing something good. Without the Lord, we can do nothing good. Another verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, 10. 8, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then get verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what kind of works?
unto good works. This verse right here said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that He, that is the good works, that God before ordained that we should walk in them, in the good works, as those who've been saved and are in Christ. We're to let our light shine by following the Lord. We're to let our light shine by doing those works that we can't do on our own. We're to let our light shine saying to the world, the Lord is working in us. That's why that we're able to do these things. So like we get through, God forbid, we get through preaching or get through having a revival and good comes out of it. God forbid that you should give the credit to Daniel Wright, Brother Daniel Wright. God forbid that you should give the credit anywhere but unto God. Because we can't do any of it without Him. None of it's possible without Him. We should be so thankful when the sermon comes out and we're blessed by it. But be thankful to the Lord. When the songs are sung and it helps us. It helps us to bring our minds from the low and earthly things to the heavenly things. When we go out there and we talk to that individual that the Lord's laid on our heart, and really in the back of our mind we doubted whether they'd even come. Really, back of our mind, we did, but we went anyway. Because somehow or another, the Lord helped us, and we trusted Him, and we went on. And they end up coming. Thank the Lord. And I'm saying, thank the Lord. Because that's where the help came from. When we do this work, and if one of these days, I don't know how long this world's going to get to stand. Let's say the Lord gives us another 50 years, another 60 years. I don't expect to live 60 years. I don't know about y'all. I don't expect to. But what about right as we come to our deathbeds and we look back and we think about sitting down here in the domes, Corinth Church, still going on. People got saved. People joined the church here and they learned the doctrine so the lights can keep burning. And this doctrine, this that we're considering tonight, those who came before us, they were considering the very same things. They were considering messages from the very same God who we're considering. They served the very same one. They faced their struggles, but they held on to the Lord, and we ended up right here tonight. What about on our deathbed? If we can look back and say, it's still going on. Right then, we should thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, because it's His grace. It's His work. It's His life. People came to that decision, and even though the darkness was there, and those things of darkness was there, they turned from them and trusted the Lord and stepped out to follow the Lord. We had a part in that. Be like Paul. Paul said, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So he that planteth is nothing, and he that watereth is nothing, but God. God is the one who's something. He's the one who's got to give the increase. Let's just be willing to sow. Let's be willing to plant. I've heard preaching being called sowing the word. But you know, those testimonies and those other things going on, that waters that word. Be willing to water the word. Be willing to do those things the Lord would have for us to do. This has been my message. The scripture here, the final thought. But you that kindle your own sparks, you who light your own fire, remember this. The Lord says you're going to, from my hand, He says from Him. He claims the responsibility. The Lord claims the responsibility. This shall you have of my hand, because you love darkness and rejected me. The Lord said, this shall you have of my hand. The Lord takes full responsibility. You shall lie down in sorrow. You shall. Don't reject the Lord. Don't reject the Lord. He is waiting. He is waiting still. He is waiting still. This is our message. Let's be careful to follow the Lord. Let's have a song. Pass around, shake hands with each other.